Steve and Jill here.
Hello.
Welcome to the Land Academy Show, entertaining land investment talk. I'm Steve and Jack Butella.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk with Land Academy member Johnny Newsom from Clarksville, Tennessee. Welcome, Johnny.
Hey, guys. Nice to see you guys.
Yay.
All right. Right before the show, you're just mentioning that you've seen a few of these episodes. So welcome to like the co-host of the show.
Yeah. I feel like I made it.
Yay. On the other side of the camera.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Did you tell anybody you're doing like this today? Like,
mom? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Told my mom. Yeah. I told everybody. I was like, hey, I'm going to be on that that podcast I'm always telling you guys about. So.
And did mom say, what's a podcast?
No. She listens to you guys too. She's kind of a little bit like my business partner. So.
That's fantastic. Yeah. Okay, this is super cool. Next time we'll have mom on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, it's going to air 2 weeks from this week. I'm not sure exactly which day.
Oh, yeah. 2 weeks from today?
Right. Like it'll be not this next week, but the week after. You can kind of plan for it. Right. We'll let you know.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds good.
Awesome. So tell us, if you would, what's your background? What did you do before you came to Land Academy?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I have a little bit of like a unusual background. I don't really come from like a corporate world or even kind of like a business. I kind of come from more of like a, before this, my primary source of income was really just like buying and selling furniture. Online, like I would get free furniture off of Craigslist and resell it on Marketplace. And then kind of before that, I was like flipping iPhones and stuff and working a job and flipping iPhones on the side. And then doing furniture, I was able to kind of like do that full time and not have to have a job. I did that for about a year and a half. You know, being in the car a lot, it kind of allowed me to like listen to a lot of podcasts. So I was kind of trying to figure out a way, you know, how to do the same thing, but like with a bigger object with larger spreads. And yeah, that's how I came across this. So
that's cool. Okay. I got to ask, what were your numbers? Like you would just like get them for free, basically find some people to just like get rid of them quick and you just come take them. And then Was it a couple bucks? And then did you have to deliver them all?
Yeah. I delivered them all. I was typically doing anywhere from like 2,500 to like 3,000 a month.
That's great.
Just getting free furniture. Yeah. Yeah. You'd be surprised if you find a metro area and you just look on Craigslist, people give away stuff that's like $100, $200. And you pick up a decent amount of that and you just put it on Marketplace. So it really was like a nice... Yeah, it like trained me to kind of see like the intrinsic, you know, that people would give stuff away that was actually kind of valuable, you know. So kind of like going into land, you know, it wasn't like a large, leap to be able to see like, oh, this is a different object, you know, doing a similar thing with. So
what are your numbers like with land?
So with land, we're starting last year. I was just getting into it. So I did, smaller deals. So, and also like a lot of, options and wholesaling type deals. So last year, my deals were kind of like, you know, $3,000 here, $4,000 here. And then this year we scaled up and, we started to do a lot of bigger deals. On the 5th, we actually close on a deal that's going to net after closing costs, it'll net like slightly under $50,000.
That's fantastic, man. Congratulations. Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah.
I want to go back to the past.
Yeah. I'd actually put it, that particular deal, I don't know if you guys remember it, but I put it in a deal review. And I think Jill was like, is this a brag about a deal? And I was like, yeah, I close tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I bought it for 31 and we sold it for 80. So
nice. Yeah. There you go.
And you don't have to deliver it.
That's a brag. Exactly.
Exactly. Yeah. You don't have to deliver it or nothing. You just, you know.
Well, I'm just like, how cool and scrappy of you to figure this out. And this is like one of those things right now. There's people that are worried about putting food on the table, and you know, you just proved you could, I mean, think outside the box. There's so many things that you could do right now, and yeah. then use that knowledge and experience like you just did, transition to bigger and better things. You created your own little company, and now look at the company you're doing now. You're doing much bigger spreads.
Yeah, much bigger spreads. Yeah.
From $50 to $50,000.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's the kind of around the time when I was looking for like a, it's funny that you said that, because around the time when I was looking to kind of get into a bigger, to do the same thing with bigger objects, I was actually listening to something, or I was reading a book, and they were just saying, you know, add zeros to what you're doing, you know, add a zero. And you guys said that a lot too. You guys were saying that last year, you know, I heard you guys talking about partnering and stuff like that, you know, don't be afraid to add a zero. So yeah, that's kind of where my thinking, you know, was as I got into this. So
that's so great.
So are you sending a bunch of mail out and just kind of working it the typical way that a regular Land Academy member does?
Yes. Yeah, typically. So I'll send, typically I try to send at least about 5,000 units per mailer. And then as the leads come in, I kind of had two ways that I work the deal. Either, you know, I'll acquire the deal and I'll either acquire it and then, you know, put it back on the market, or if the spread doesn't look like it's enough, or if it kind of looks a little risky or there's an unknown, then I'll wholesale it. I'll put another option and then market it and then just get an assignment fee from it. So that's pretty much my, you know, those are my two ways to work the deal. And then, you know, if it can't work for either of those, then let's just kind of move on.
Do you see any major advantages by just doing it close to home?
Yeah, a little bit. Cause now we're starting to get further out. Cause typically, so I stayed around Nashville. So that's pretty close to where I am. But doing it around Nashville, I can see right away, you know, when a deal comes in, I know, you know, like, oh, this is an awesome deal, you know. But as we've gone further out, I can see that, you know, it's like, oh, I'm not sure that's, you know, it's, and with land, you know, sometimes it's hard to see like comps in certain areas. But if you know the area, you don't necessarily need like outstanding comps, you know. So yeah, right now I'm just kind of like in that period where I'm, you know, starting to learn like how to get further out from where I actually am.
That's so good. So, okay. So you're driving around in the career you created, which is awesome, paying the bills. You're listening to stuff. What was there something about, other than the margins, was there something about us or what brought you to the Land Academy? What triggered this for you?
Yeah, so actually, so initially when I first got into land, I actually had kind of gotten into it from a different educational program. I didn't actually buy into it, but just off the free content that I saw, and I'll say his name, Seth Williams, the free stuff on Reese Hipster, he gives a lot of like free information out, which I'm thankful for, because a lot of my initial knowledge that I had got was, you know, just off of that site and stuff. But I had actually sent a mailer out at first without buying into anything or anything. I was just like, I think I got enough information to try to send something out. And the mailer was like, it was like 300, it was like 700 mailers that I sent out, and it was terrible. It was like, it was like postcard. I sent out postcards and I had got the list from the county, but I guess, you know, and I spent all that time like extracting all of that information from the county roll and all the stuff like that. But I guess when I sent the mailers out, some of them weren't like correct. The addresses weren't correct. So I got a whole bunch of like return mail. And then I had realtors calling me like, you know, they wanted to sell at market value. And I'm like, oh no, like, you know, I'm looking for a deal, you know. But right after that, I was listening to you guys, and you guys were saying how like blind offers is the way to cut out all this stuff, you know, cut out talking to realtors that want to sell at market value, cut out, you know, getting in touch with people that aren't looking to do a deal, you know. And I understood that and cut out the extraction of the data, you know, trying to parse through the data and, you know, send mail out. So, but since I had already sent the mailer out, you know, it resonated with me. I was like, yeah, that is like the X factor, you know, in this whole thing. That's at least from my perspective, that's how I felt at the time. And, so from there, that's really what led me to Land Academy. And, I bought into it right at the end of that year. It was like you guys had some end of the year thing going on, 2018. Yeah. So.
Our most successful members try it, some version of whatever makes sense in their head first, and then they come to us and we kind of fill in the holes.
Yep.
Then I'll fill in the gaps, I guess. So I'm really glad it's working for you. It's, you know, man, we interview people like accountants and former Enron employees and stuff like that constantly. It's really, really great to talk to someone who's made it work, made another simple e-commerce business, and then kind of added this to it. It's really, I'm happy for you.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate it. Yeah, and I'll, you know, I've told you guys in some of the member calls before, but, you know, thank you guys, you know, just for giving the information and putting that out there, because, you know, it's like, because I'm pretty ambitious, but, you know, without the information, you know, it takes years to be able to, you know, find success in something, you know, because I could already see that, you know, when I had sent that first mailer out, for me to be able to kind of like make it work, it would have taken a number of like iterations of messing up and sending out this and sending out that and trying to figure it out. But, you know, you guys like streamlined it.
Yep. I've been there, done that.
Literally. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
It's like I used to always say, like, man, I wish I had a version of me right now. Guy, you know, I'm happy to save you.
Even Land Academy 2.0, because right now I'm looking to scale, you know, I'm looking to kind of, you know, kind of not phase myself out, but really work on the business as like a system instead of just like a number of like deals that I'm like, you know, going deal from deal. I'm looking to like turn it into like a system, you know.
That's good.
And Land Academy 2.0 kind of, you know, touches on how you can, you know, outsource a lot of stuff. Yeah.
Yep.
So even that is like super valuable for me right now. So.
Boy, I'll tell you, man, if you can do one or two big deals like that a month, you're all set.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I don't see why you can't, do you?
No. I mean, so even for that that bigger deal that we did right before those, so we had a mailer that we sent out in May, and then from that mailer, we had four really big deals come from that mailer. One that we're closing on right now, and then the other three closed before. This is just the last deal from that mailer. So the spreads on those deals, I partnered on one of the deals, and we had bought it for 35, sold it for 80, and it was a 60-40 split with the partners. And then the other one was we bought for 17, sold for 43.
Oh, you're awesome.
And then the other one, smaller, is like bought for 3,500, sold for 12. But the last mailer that I sent another mailer out in September, but the previous mailer, the deals that have closed over the past like 2 months, those have been like the really big deals that we've done. So
that's so cool.
Fantastic.
I'm excited.
Just from a grassroots standpoint, it's so I don't know, I'm sure I speak for Jill, gratifying for us to just, I don't know, for some reason I love every live event we do, there's one or two people that come from an e-commerce environment instead of like a professional accounting background or a data background. And I just, you know, because I've bought and sold a lot of stuff long before Jill, with Jill too, online too, with not as much success, but we did make pretty good money. Mm-hmm. Sounds like your version of your furniture thing.
Yes.
We always just come back to land because it's so much easier to ship and handle, and you don't have to store anything or any of that. It's just but you still understand how the auctions work and how stuff works and dealing with customer service online. So you've already got an understanding of that, which I think is the hard part. Buying and selling the land is the easy part. It's just dealing with the customers and the people and the closing and all that stuff. So you already came into it knowing all that.
And also, like, because initially, the big thing for me was kind of trying to figure out that whole thing. Like, how do you work with the title companies? You know, this is like a different entity. But then once you do a deal or two, you know, it becomes very, it's kind of like I love the title companies, you know, just kind of like hand off everything. And, you know, if you find a good one, I've ran into like two bad ones, you know, but then after you do, you know, after you do a deal with a bad title company, you just don't use them again, you know. But once you find like a really good title company, you kind of can kind of stay around, you know, keep using them.
Yeah.
But that I found that to be very helpful.
That's so cool. I love it. So now you've kept close to home. You're branching out. Are you branching out dollar wise too? Like what's other than new areas, are you adding even more zeros?
We're kind of scaling up in volume. You know, that's kind of like the big thing is like to scale in volume. So like, I feel like, you know, now that we have like a proven, a proven business model, you know, now it's just like being really consistent and, you know, sending mail out every month, like on a certain day, send that number of units out. My offers are typically, I'm really sending offers out to properties that are, you know, I'll cut out anything over like 500,000, but if it's, you know, anything up to 500,000, I'm sending an offer to.
I love it.
So,
Johnny's just going crazy now.
I'm going for it. Yeah.
Why not? That's how you do it.
Yeah. That's what I think.
And then you realize when you take a step back, you go, oh, what just happened? I guess I can do that. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Like a lot of the times the fear is just funny. When I first got, this is a funny story that I tell people, you know, like fear is like, you know, once you learn to kind of like constantly like be comfortable and being scared, you know, so that you kind of overcome, you know, fear is kind of, you begin to kind of see like, oh, I can really do anything. You know, it's just the idea of not being able to do it that's really like the obstacle, you know. But on the very first mailer with Land Academy, I had put in all this time and effort. I had studied, I did all this, you know, figured out the data and stuff like that, and sent the mailer out. And when the call started coming in, I was like so scared that I did not answer the phone for like three calls. Like I did all of that, and then like was so scared, like I didn't answer the phone. You know, like fear is funny like that. Like it'll sabotage, you know, the things that you really want. But yeah, then I answered the phone and, you know, got cussed out, and I was like, oh, it's not so bad, you know.
So. Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah. You're right. It's just in your head. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all it is. So how big is your team now?
So I guess it would be like
a team of two?
Team of three.
Team of three.
Me, myself, my mom, my wife. I am looking to bring a VA in to kind of to kind of handle a lot of the different tasks that come up. But so a team of like 3-4 where we're going to be at now.
Cool. How do you guys divide up the responsibilities?
System to system, like, sales over here, okay. Mailer over here, you know.
Who does what? What's your job? I'm kind of curious.
Yeah. Sending out the mail, analyzing the bills, you know, going out to the properties. And kind of like the direction, you know, figuring out the direction that we're going to go, you know.
That's all you.
I mean, that's the, the Land Academy 2.0 way. Mm-hmm. You know, that's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're already doing that, putting yourself in that position and then letting everybody else deal with the paperwork.
Yeah. Pat Live is also, started using Pat Live. I was like, man, I should have started that a little earlier, you know, because it's like, you know, that you're only talking to the leads as they, you know, the people that are looking to sell. That's who you want to talk to instead of, you know, being on the phone all day long, you know, with people that are, you know, trying to negotiate or they're like angry at you for sending the mail out.
Right.
Can you imagine where you're going to be in 5 years?
Yeah.
Can you imagine that?
That's yeah. I have it kind of mapped out a little bit, but.
Let's hear it.
Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. So my goal for my company Lanthrop is to, within the next 12 months is to do over $1 million. And then, kind of to just scale on that. When I look at the mail and I look at what we can do, I feel like if we were to send out 10,000 units a month, mm-hmm. Then we could, what I project is that we could do like 2.5 million. Mm-hmm. So over like 24 months, that's really like the goal to get there in 25 months. And then from there, it's just to kind of like build the business up, you know, and then put, you know, a lot of that income that was generated, you know, active income, kind of put it into a lot of like passive investment vehicles, like multi-unit apartments and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that's, yeah, that's where I would like to be in 5 years. Yeah.
I hope you wrote that down. I just tell you, every person, if you write it down and like stick it on your computer, watch what happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you just some of my unsolicited advice slash my personal experience, because I'm a lot older than you are. Mm-hmm. I always had and still do have plans like, all right, so once we hit this goal with buying and selling land, we're going to take a portion of the proceeds. We're going to invest it into fill in the blank. In your case, it's multi-unit or whatever. And I went and did it, and every single time it sucked. Every single time I went back, you know what? Yeah, it's profitable, but it's nothing like buying a piece of property for $30,000 and selling it for $90,000.
Right,
and so we just all fall back into that.
Mm-hmm. Just put it all back into it.
It's not going to work for you. I'm sure some version of it will work for you. You're a lot younger and a lot more energetic. I'm just saying, for me, it says, it's a lot easier to do 20 more deals selling land.
Right. I could definitely see that, because obviously the returns, you know, are just like through the roof compared to getting, you know, like 10-12% on a multi-unit, you know, every year. So yeah.
This day and age with the COVID and all that stuff. I mean, land is, you know, if you do 10 land deals a year, making 50, 60, 70,000 bucks, you're making $600,000 a year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know, you're not going to do that with apartments unless you have, I'm not trying to talk out anything. I'm just saying, my personal experience, it's like to make $1 million net owning apartments or mobile home parks or whatever you can dream up, because that's what we're doing now. We're buying mobile home parks. It's a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff that goes on. A lot of people, there's management companies. There's a lot of hands in the pie with the dirt deal. It's just like me and Joe and that's it.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I definitely take that to heart, though, because, you know, when I study, another thing that I study successful people, you know, so I really, really like take to heart, you know, when somebody that has the results that I, you know, I'm looking to get, you know, when they tell me like, hey, you know, you could probably do it this way, or, you know, hey, you know, this is what I've found, you know, I definitely take that to heart. So thank you for, you know, sharing that with me, because I could, you know, I could see how, you know, you just continue to scale, you know, over and over and over again. And, you know, who knows? I mean, that might be better in the long run. But
that's what's so funny. You know, watch what happens.
Try it.
Every time
that's try everything
like houses, different things.
Yeah.
It's like, I just, this never stops. And that's the beauty of this too. Once you have the land thing figured out, while you're doing other things, this will be quietly paying all the bills.
Yeah, coming along,
taking care of everything. So
I had actually, that's funny, like we flipped a house at the end of 2019.
Okay.
And it was me and my mom, and my mom has a full-time job. So, you know, a lot of the effort and time into the house was me. Like I put so much time into that house, and we made a lot of money and everything. But like when I look back, I'm like, man, you know, and we put the proceeds into the land, you know, which helped us scale. So that's a good thing too. But definitely part of the reason we didn't scale earlier or go bigger earlier was just because of the time investment into that house.
So I gotta ask. Okay, so what did you buy it for? What did you sell it for? And how many hours did it take you?
Ooh, man, so bought it for 60, put 15 in, and we sold it for 130,000.
Okay.
So it was a nice little project. However, it did take a whole year to do it. I'm gonna say we had it for a whole year, but the, you know, every day focusing on it period of time was probably like 5 months of just like every day, you know, thinking about this house. And since we had did most of it ourselves, you know, there was a lot of dirty work that was like that we had to do, like getting under the house and you know, messing with the insulation and all that stuff, you know. So yeah, as much making 50 that way and making 50 in the land is much I'll choose the land any day.
Just a smidgen different.
Yes, just a little bit of a difference.
Yeah.
You know, with land too, it's like, and I'm not plugging houses or land. Everybody makes one or the other work, and it's just all personality. Yeah. But if something goes wrong and you have to own a piece of land for a couple of years, you're paying the taxes on it. So what? It's not a big deal. With the house, stuff starts rotting, and the property taxes are a lot higher. And if you've
utilities, got utilities, maybe.
Yeah. You've got
insurance.
All kinds of stuff that you money you put into the house that can get stolen. There's just a lot of there's too many variables. Just from a number standpoint, there's not a lot of variables with math. I mean, with land.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. That's even like with the furniture and stuff. I realized like I guess so like with furniture, if you buy something like a washing machine, there's a lot of variables. You know, if you're gonna fix like. If you're not a washing machine expert, like something could go wrong with the washing machine and you're trying to sell it to somebody and they test it out and like, oh, it's worthless now because it doesn't work, you know? But something like a mattress or something, you know, like if the mattress is, there's not much that could be wrong internally with something like a table or a mattress or something like that, you know? So, you know, even before I was looking at flipping cars, before I got into land, and it was land or like flipping cars. And part of the reason I went with land was because all of the variables when it comes to cars, you know, there's all types of stuff that could be wrong that you're not even aware of, you know, but land is kind of like, you know, it's not a lot of variables when it comes to land.
Yeah. I personally feel like sometimes my land deals just hug me back.
Yeah.
It's just really, I don't know, it's just, in its simplest form,
it is.
It's hard to screw up a land deal.
No.
Really easy to screw up a car deal. Yeah. I've done a ton of car deals in my life and probably made money on 10% of them.
Exactly. Land's awesome.
It is. It definitely is. Yeah.
Do you have any questions for us?
I just want to know, especially like as far as like productivity, how do you guys, because I see, you know, you guys are running Land Academy and then you're doing deals and then you have like sister companies and stuff like that. Is it delegation? Is that kind of like how you guys are able to produce so much, or is it or I'm sure it's probably a mix of both, but how do you guys get so much done is really kind of what I'm.
Well, it's a few basic things. Number one, there's two of us, not one. That really, really, really helps. And the stuff that Jill handles is completely different than what I handle, and our paths don't cross on it. You know, she handles the acquisitions and the sales of land, both from a deal funding standpoint, you know, the money that we loan out or partnership with, and our own deals. So I don't even get involved in that almost ever. As far as the education goes, there's about four or five companies that are within that education thing that I manage personally, but I have two people under me, and Jill does too on her side, two people that it took years to find these right people and cultivate them, where unless something's on fire, we don't even find out about it. So we're both in a position now where we're the visionaries for these lines of business, and we take them where we think they should go. Right. And the two people under each of us manage everything. But I'll tell you, it's really easy to say that in 30 seconds like I just did and answer it that way. But the fact is, we had to go through a lot of people, a lot of staff, and really groom the existing people that are in there and pay them pretty well and reward them constantly, which, you know, in the end, we all win. So it's a matter of staffing. And I think to find somebody, you know, you literally have to go through about 10 or 11 people before you find that one person that can run stuff for you. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. We have good staff. We have like department heads above different product lines too.
Yeah.
And they report that way. So like if you want to branch out, you could have a land division, a house division, an info lot division, if you think of it like that.
Yeah. Or a Kentucky division in your case. Yeah. I'd move on to the next state or however it works, whatever makes sense to you.
Exactly.
Yeah. But it's really just a systemically removing the crap that you don't want to do. Like, so you mentioned Pat Live because you're tired of that part of it. That's a perfect example of it's not going to really cost you that much. If anything net, you're probably going to make money on it when you start outsourcing that. So great, outsource that. If you're sick and tired of doing the data part, you can outsource that. We're actually working on a product to help with that. So it's just every month, get rid of something. And then, you know, that first employee, I don't know if you have that, if it's your partner, your mom, or if you have one person working for you, that just, I still remember my first employee a lot of years ago and just the huge, massive burden that took off of me to say, hey, please do this.
Right. Yeah.
That's a huge issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Preferably one that you're not related to, because then you can give them the junk. You're looking forward to their first employee.
Because that's what right now, because even though it's still like in the, you know, friends and family kind of stage as far as me delegating stuff. So, you know, I'm sure it's different than, you know, finding somebody and, you know, having to, you know, screen them and stuff like that.
I would say the first thing when you're getting these systems going and everything too, Johnny, have them start writing procedures that if they're not there, how everything gets done. So they can, you could all look at, you know, moving yourselves up and they can look at, they'll have a procedure in place for their employee and then that person will train the next person and so
on.
Our Land Academy itself is packed full of people just like you that are doing probably whatever, 8 to 10 to 15 deals a year. It's maybe you and your partner and the outsourced products like Pat Live, or maybe you have one or two people possibly. Part-time doing the stuff you don't want to do and, you know, making between 800 and $1 million a year. And so more and more I'm hearing from some of those members specifically that's it. They're done. They don't want to build it anymore. They don't want to take it to $2 million. They want to work 2 or 3 days a week, or in my case, I like to work 2 or 3 hours a day, 7 days a week. For some reason, it just works better for me that way. And make a couple $1 million a year and that's it. We can make 10 million. You can make 10 million. Somebody put a gun to your head and said, you need to make $10 million next year. I bet you can do it. You'd be working 20 hours a day. But you could do it. So it's like, but again, you're a young guy. So super young. So and you got this figured out. Maybe that's what you want to do. I guess when I was a lot younger, I probably would have done that too. I don't know. You got to decide what you want. These are good choices to have.
Definitely. Definitely great choices to have. No, yeah, I really would like to. I'm trying to push it as far as I can.
Cool.
As far as I can push it, yeah, and yeah, I'm kind of looking into. There's like different parts of land too. Like there's different ways that you can monetize land that I'm kind of getting into or seeing to, you know, mm-hmm. like to where like. So say for instance, like your end buyer isn't, you know, guy trying to go hunting or guy trying to build, but if he's like a developer or something like that, you know, getting it to the point to where you can hand it off to the developer, that there's a lot of spread or profit to be made in something like that, you know. But of course there's logistics and education with trying to figure out how to get it to that point. And with a low level of risk, you know, at the same time. So that's kind of stuff that I'm looking at also. But yeah, you guys are going to be seeing a lot of mail from me because I'm trying to push it as far as I can. Yeah.
The best thing you can do.
Yeah.
I was telling somebody about that today. I said, you know, I have a little bit of a panic attack if I don't open up Airtable and see a bunch of deals review, because it's yeah. so nice to have 20 there sitting there waiting for me.
Yeah,
and I pick the best ones and I move on.
Yeah,
so great. That really does solve everything. So mm-hmm. it's good.
Yeah, I track that every week. Actually, I sent it to you today. We have millions of dollars out there placed right now, just dollars that are double and triple for us and for our partners. So it's
right.
Deal funding's worked out really well for us. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I tell you, pal, where you can make a fortune, especially because you're local and you're doing deals so close to where you live, is you could, if you know, I'm sure you've got a ton of property that comes back that doesn't have any access, doesn't have illegal access. Mm-hmm. You can yeah. figure out with these municipalities and these counties where you are, how to do that, how to get access to these properties. Man, right. You'll make five, instead of doubling your money, you'll make 5 to 8 times your money.
Right.
And really like doing the world a service, like taking a piece of property that nobody could figure out, putting a driveway, right, yeah. physical and legal driveway in, and everybody around mm-hmm. that's happy, man.
Right.
If you have the stomach for that and kind of legal mind for it,
yeah,
that's a great way to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you for telling. Yep. That's funny that you even say that, because there's a, you know, the first couple deals that I did was on landlocked properties, but it was an option. I wholesaled the deals, and they had physical access, but the legal access was spotty, you know, and the physical access was kind of widely accepted as like, you know, everybody agreed that you could get to the property this way. But of course, if you know, something like that, and I get deals like that a lot, but that I kind of turn away now, you know, but definitely, you know, finding a way that it's a legal way to get access. I could already, you know, see that the spreads on those would be yeah. super, super large. Yeah.
Cool.
That's awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much. We're glad to have you on our show today and spend this time with you and get to know you a little bit better. And
yeah,
not on a Thursday.
yeah.
when we have some energy.
Yeah. Right. yeah. yeah, that's true. Those calls do get long. It's kind of funny, but we love
yeah.
them.
Yeah. That's, I'll be sitting in those member calls and I'm like, man, they're reviewing a lot of yeah. properties. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. but that's been useful for me. Cause, early on, I would go through the member calls. I've probably gone through like almost all of those member calls, like on the land investors site, and just kind of like looking at what deals you guys said were successful and or you know look like good deals, and kind of just analyzing like why you guys said they were good deals, and it kind of you know so that's been super helpful for me.
Great. Yeah. Johnny Newsom, it's great to talk to you. I'm so glad that Land Academy's working out for you. And please send us an email or every once in a while, just let us know, especially if you do a big deal or even if you screw something up, we'd love to hear about it. We'll definitely name both of your first and last name, especially if it's a screw up on one of our regular shows.
yeah, definitely. Yeah, we'll do.
Thanks again, bud. We'll talk to you soon.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you guys for having me.
Thank you. Bye.